Well, good morning, everybody. It's a different day for us all here today because we're no music. So I've got to improvise a little bit here this morning. I've improvised. Now, I've seen some hymns this morning put on the board earlier this morning, but I wasn't going to do that this morning. I was going to have some responsive hymnal readings, but you sounded pretty good on the last hymn I heard, so I think we might as well have a go this morning. It's lovely to be here. It's nice Sabbath morning. I'm sorry I was a bit late this morning for the start. I want to thank Milan and Vi for helping out with Sabbath School this morning because we were short. I want to thank them very much for what they did here this morning. Appreciate that. And now it's my particular turn. This morning, my topic is going to be based on a hymn, not from a Bible reading, but using the hymn for a reference to a Bible reading, which I'll come to later on. But before we start this morning, shall we seek the Lord in prayer, in silent prayer. Amen. You've noticed I've put on the board hymn number 569. Now, I think you all know it. It's one of Fanny Crosby's. Now, let me read something, because I've got something here about this lady and about this hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. On a visit to one of New York's prisons in 1868, Fanny Crosby, who lived from 1820 to 1915, appeared to the convicts to accept Christ as their Saviour. She was interrupted by one prisoner who exclaimed, "Good Lord, don't pass me by William Howard Doney, 1832 to 1915, who had composed many tunes for Crosby's words, and suggested a hymn with the title, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour. She thought about the incident and its spiritual overtones and wrote the words of this hymn, making it a real prayer from the heart. Being blind herself, she could easily understand the feelings of the blind beggar, whose story is the basis for the hymn. It was first published in Songs of Devotion in 1870, the tune composed by Donnie in 1870, especially for the words, is one of the many gospel songs of this author-composer team. Our kind, gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee thankful on this Sabbath day for another week at the start of another month of autumn. How things change in the weather, Lord, the patterns. We know it's autumn, we can feel it in the air around us, Lord. We thank You for the many blessings of this week that You have bestowed on us. The material things of life, the roof over our heads, everything You've provided for us, for our benefit, Lord, while we're here on this earth. We at this time, Lord, remember what You did for us at Calvary. Heavenly Father, we are reflected always on what You did at the cross. Help us to understand what the blood You sacrificed on our behalf means, that we can move forward in a closer reception with You, that we can understand and be drawn nearer to Thee. So, Lord, that we will not be passed by, that we will be all together one day when the kingdom comes. Heavenly Father, we remember those who are not here today. There are many. There are some in Sydney, there are some in Melbourne, and there are a lot in Portland today. Wherever they might be, Lord, we ask them a special Sabbath day's blessing, and be with the one who is speaking today at Portland. Give him words from on high, that they might, at that regional meeting, be drawn closer to Thee also in their fellowship, one with another down there in that church. Lord, we thank You for that church has again risen up after being closed for so many years in southwestern Victoria, Lord, that the spark has arisen out of the ground to ignite the members of that church to be able to know that there is a true Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for everything indeed, We pray a special blessing for the ones in charge of our conference, Lord. Be with them as they make the big decisions in what our conference should be doing and where we, you know, in which direction we go. We also ask for the hastening of the word that we can be a light on the hill in this church, so that we can't be quiet, Lord. We can't be silenced over what we want to do and say. Heavenly Father, take us now through the remainder of this Sabbath day and bring us back here again next week. I ask these things in thy special name. Amen. Hymn number 518, Standing on the Promises. Both the words and the music were first published in Songs of Perfect Love, compiled by Carter and John R. Sweeney in 1886. The original had five stanzas. Russell Kelso Carter was born in November the 18th, 1849, in Baltimore, Maryland. He graduated in the first class from the Pennsylvania Military Academy in Chester in 1867. He was such an outstanding student at the school that the school invited him to stay and teach. He spent 18 years teaching chemistry, natural science, civil engineering and mathematics, and 3 years as a sheep herder in California. In 1887, he was ordained a Methodist minister and became involved with the holiness movement, which included camp meetings. Active with a pen, he published several novels and works of science, mathematics and religion, collaborating with A.B. Simpson. In 1891, he published Hymns of the Christian Life, to which he contributed 52 hymns, 68 tunes and arrangements, and 25 other tunes. There seemed to be no end to his quest for knowledge, for he quit the ministry and studied medicine and became a practicing physician. He died in Cantonville, Maryland, at age 79 on the 23rd of August, 1928. It has been long suggested that the marching character of this song comes from Carter's long experience in the military academy. I'm lucky enough to have a book here in front of me that was first published by Dr. E.E. White about every hymn in the Bible, every hymn in our hymn book. And some of the words and the meanings on these hymns are absolutely sometimes fabulous to read. And so this morning, I'm going to base my presentation on this hymn, hymn number 518, and I think we've got enough character to be able to stand and sing it. We know what it's like. We can think about this, and as you look in your hymn book, you will notice something. It may not be in those ones, but it's in mine. It refers to a text which I'm going to have on the board in a minute, 2 Peter 1 verse 4. I'm going to deal with that later on. Standing on the promises of God. What a wonderful thought. As I was looking at that, I thought, interesting. How does one start the sermon today? By standing on the promises of God. Because I stand here today because of God's promises. It's an interesting thought, these words. If you go back and read them, they all have meaning. The interesting part about this today, why are we here? I suppose, in opening this thought today, I better put this on the back of the board here, if I can get this right. This is the key thing. If this works, it'll be a miracle. It did. I've entitled that for Lynette's spell in the paper and whatever. Today, that is going to be my main topic of text. Can you all see that? You're right to see that. I'll move over here. Good. I'll move over this way. You can see it. That's better. That's better. My first topic and text there today is going to be, well, we'll start with the main one. Let's go. 2 Peter 1, and I'll be reading from verses 2 to 11. And I'll be reading from the NIV Study Bible, and I'll be making comments along the way. Basically, this passage talks about grace, His divine power, God's precious promises, faith, knowledge of self-control, godliness, possessing the good qualities. Don't be near-sighted and blind. Be eager in your calling and receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. But paying particular attention to verse number 4. And so I will read from this particular section this morning, and then we'll look at some other verses around and chapters which also suggest the same thing. Verse 2. 1 Peter 1, verses 2 to 11. Who hath been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God and the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given you a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, this is the one, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. That's the one, that's the verse that we've sung about. Interesting that can never fail for you. I'll read that again. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. They have come to you, your faith, or greater worth than gold, which persists even through the refined by fire, may be provided genuine, and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, and you are fixed with the inexplicable and glorious joy. Am I reading the wrong verse? We'll start again. That looks better. That's more like it. Thank you. Now I'm home. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 2 Peter 1:2. I've just read that. 2 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:2. That's it. Got it. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a life of godliness through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from those past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Everything, verse 3, reflects this. From the Bible commentaries, everything we need for life and godliness, God has made available all that we need spiritually through our knowledge of Him. If indeed 2 Peter was written to combat an usurpant, the apostle may be insisting that the knowledge possessed by those in apostolic circles was entirely adequate to meet their spiritual needs. No secret knowledge is necessary for salvation. To 1 John, glory expresses the excellence of being in His attribute and essence, goodness, depicts the excellence expressed in the deeds of virtue in action. Verse 4. Through these things, through God's excellence, internal and external, He has given us great promises. Their nature is suggested in the words that follow: participation in the divine nature and escape of the worldly corruption. Does not indicate that Christians are become divine to say any sense, but only that we are indwelt by God through His Holy Spirit. Our humanity and our deity, as well as our humanity, are divine and remain distinct and separate. All through this passage, it talks about godliness and godliness, brotherly kindness and so forth. And it says that if we possess these things, we are to be godlike. We have given a promise, standing on the promises of God. That was the main passage from this particular hymn in which I wanted to talk about this morning. That's not the only one, however. There are quite a few others, in which I'm going to lead around to it. 10 of them, actually, hopefully. We'll get there. I suppose the main one would come out, the first one that comes to my mind, no doubt, and probably yours, we found in John 3:16. If you look at that, here we have a promise, John 3:16. Now, we all know what it is. We don't have to look it up, but we're going to anyway, just to hear the Bible's rattle and all that sort of thing. John 3:16, yes, you know what it says. And I want to say this because this is a promise. This is another promise. John 3:16, it reads this: For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a lovely promise. Now, thinking about that, it says in my Bible, whosoever. It doesn't say you or me, it says anyone at all. Now, it's an interesting thought to me that I can be a lowly shepherd, a carpenter, a painter, a social worker, or anything in the street, Or I can be a doctor, a lawyer, a solicitor, a banker, or somebody in a high place. It no matter what your rank in life are, where you come from, where you are, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't have to be a brainy scientist or understand how the stars go overhead, in what order, or know the exact names, or look out there and know the different grasses and things, although that might help. But that to me would probably be one of the first promises that would come into my head if somebody said to me, standing on God's promises. John 3:16. God so loved the world. The great truth motivated God's plan of salvation. All people on earth, or perhaps all creation, note that he gave, and it goes through. All believers are called sons and daughters of God. Jesus is God's son in a unique sense. In a unique sense, Jesus Christ came down to this earth to die for our sins on this earth through the blood at Calvary. That to me is one of the most precious promises to me in the Bible, John 3:16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, if they, or you, or anyone, should so choose. Alright, we'll be looking at some others now. The next one I've got down, we go back to 1 John 3:17-21. We'll be skipping around in the New Testament. 1 John, I'll get this right this time. 1 John, hope, if I can find it. 1 John, I think this is right. 1 John 3:17-21. I'm checking myself now to make sure I've got 1 John 3. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts and rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Interesting. God knows everything about our hearts, no matter what. He can read my heart, he knows my actions, he knows my thoughts, he knows everything about me. Even the hairs on my head, or the lack of them. He's aware. But we have to have confidence before God. But it also tells us there that we have to look after our brother as well. Look after our brother in such a way that we have to care for him and what he does in the world. Verse 16 reads again, for this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What a wonderful thought. He laid his life down. 1 John 4, come over back a page. 1 John 4:15-16. 1 John 4. Now you just have to give me 15 and 16. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We can rely on the love of God that he has for us, because he looks after us in his own way. This week, and a bit of a trouble at home, been getting a new roof on the house. And so this week, naturally, Murphy's Law says, pull a roof off, and what happens? It rains. And that's exactly what happened on Tuesday morning. Over my back door on Tuesday morning, about 8:05 this week, was a flood. water just pouring down out of the roof. Somebody had taken the flashing off the night before and hadn't put it back properly or sealed it up. While this was happening, guess who turned up on the door? The plumber. Are you all right? Yes, I'm all right. But the water's not. Oh, I'll fix that straight away. And he did. I was thinking of that during the week. The one person I needed at that particular time turned up right where I needed him. Because I was in trouble. Ruined carpets, back door, the place still smelled, you know, water. Down, you can smell it. The place is still drying out. The one person I wanted was there when I needed him. Not the baker, not the candlestick maker or the physician or doctor, the plumber. He had knew because he'd made a mistake the night before. He went away in anticipation, oh, it's not going to rain tonight. But it did. Isn't that a way we can see in this world today, how that we have to be careful and be on our guard against Satan? We can think that we're okay when we go to bed, but Satan's got other ideas out there in the world for us. And he can turn the minute little thing into something great. The problem has now been fixed. We've had rain since and it hasn't come in. But the after effects are still there in the house. You can still smell the damp. Isn't that the way sin is? The after effects of sin is evident. It needs to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to be so careful about today. We have to be so careful that we don't condemn people for what is out there, for what they see. Well, some things are not what they seem. And this is what we have to be careful with. We'll look at another one now. John, we'll go back to John. Yes, all over the place. John 14, 16 and 17. Back to John. John 14, 16 and 17. Yes, I'm watching the time. John 14, 16 and 17. John chapter 14. I'm checking myself as I'm going. 16 and 17. We'll start with 15. If you love me, and you are, this is John 14, 15 to 17, I'll read. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Word cannot accept him because neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you. And will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, it says. Jesus promises in that text the Holy Spirit. That no matter what I'm going to say today of preparation for, the Holy Spirit has been with me in the preparation of this today. Earlier this morning I was lying awake. Now, what am I going to say today? How's it going to come out? What am I going to say? No, it's the Holy Spirit saying it, not me. Because the thoughts come to me early in the morning, not late in the night. They come to you early in the morning. How the Holy Spirit sometimes grabs me when I have to position myself here at this desk is that it speaks to me as I'm lying in bed in quietness, in the quietness of the morning air. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. 1 John again says this, 4:6. 1 John 4:6 reads, we are from God. 1 John 4, see, yeah, I'm all over the place this morning, but I'm getting there. 1 John 4, verse 6. Another one. It reads this, 1 John 4, 6, got it, right. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. For this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Ah, this is a good promise. Falsehood, the spirit of truth. I promised that I would be here this morning. I've kept my promise. Mainly because I wanted to come here this morning to be with you all this morning in this particular place. The spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The spirit of falsehood could be something sent by Satan to me. Something could be false. How many times have somebody been led into something? Oh yes, I could relate something there now. Somebody where somebody has been shown something of a wrong colour. I well remember back in 6th of May 1989 on Cowan Bank up in Sydney. Train driver was coming out of Sydney, going into Sydney from Hawkesbury River. And he was shown in front of him a clear green light. Little did he know, just up around the corner, that a grain of sand was playing a trick on him, and that signal should have been showing red. Because the grain of sand, building up over a couple of years, had insulated the rail track to turn that light from red into green. He approached that signal at green at about 40 kilometres an hour with an electric train on a bank of 1 in 30 at 40 kilometres an hour and hit the rear of a stationary train, killing 4 people including the driver and his passenger in the front of that train, all because something was false. He was shown a false green light that should have been red. When they found out about it was, the sand had insulated the track. Over the years, the locomotives going up this particular bank had to put sand down on the track to gain traction. No one had ever thought of it before, it's never happened before. But the sand insulated the track in exactly the opposite way that it was supposed to. You know what I'm talking about. Exactly. So it came out, 3 people on that train lost their lives. Now the interesting part about it was, I tell you that because that has a sting in the tail. I stand here today because I was supposed to be a passenger in the train that he hit in the rear carriage of the train in front of me that night. God sent someone to me that day, one person I would listen to, sent to me the Saturday night before, would I go with them out to Manly and see them off on a bus to Melbourne that night. Oh, but I'm going to give up a trip on a steam train. Yeah. Oh, all right, you know, you do these things. One person I listened to. I'll do it for you, yes. I said goodbye to her. This person said goodbye to the family. I would have been passenger on that train. God protected me. He had something other than that for me. Something to do. He had something for me to do. My mother thought I was dead. Rang up and she said, "You alive or you dead?" No, I said, "I'm alive, I'm here." She said, "Thank you. Thank you for that. You're here. You know what mothers are like. You alive?" Didn't ring her up. Well, I thought you were dead. Thought I was going to derange your funeral. No, I'm not on the 38. Thank you very much. False. Because the light was showing false green, this train was hit. Three people were killed. How many times in other places can I give you an example of something where things go like that, where something is false and it's not right? One can look out there and see 2 pieces of wood or something floating or a container. Now I saw a truck go through this town this week and he had a load of hay on it. And he was like that. The trailer was like 20 inches this way. And the person I was with bringing me home said to me, he's not going to get very far. He should be lucky if he gets to Dunkeld or wherever he's going, because the load was going to move. He hadn't tightened his rope. Things like that. Now, I could stand here and go on and on and on about this, but I'm not. But I want to predict this morning that we have to be careful. We have to stand on the promises of God, because that's the only thing as Christians today in this world that we have. We have to have confidence. We have to have the spiritual understanding that if we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, we can get all the help we need. I've got other texts here. Oh, yes. Yes, the famous, another famous one, and then I'll sort of wind down a bit. Yes, come back to John 14, 1-3. It had to be in this one today, and then I'll turn over a couple in Revelation. John 14, 1-3. Now, this was one that came home to me very smartly. John, the original book of John, 14, 1-3. No, I'm not far enough. John 14, 1-3. You know what it says, but we'll read it anyway. Somebody's got too many left thumbs. John 14, 1-3. Jesus comforts his disciples, it's called. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way, the place where I am going. And then it goes on. Thomas said, I'm not going to say it, Jesus comforts his disciples. What a wonderful thing. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, or it says trust in God. Another promise. Trust in me and I'll look after you. Trust in God, trust in Jesus Christ, I'll look after you. I'm going away for a while. I'm going to prepare nice things for you somewhere else in heaven. It goes on. He wants us to be there. He wants us because that's what he died for. He wants everyone here today and in Portland, wherever they might be, no matter what. But it's an interesting thought that behind this, there are people out there who need our help. In other denominations, in other faiths, that are out there, and that we have to seek them. Yes, there's only time to finish. We have to seek them. We have to be out there and to be ready. For if we are ready and able to do God's work, we are in a situation to be of value to Jesus and to be of value of Jesus Christ. Each one of us has got gifts. No matter what, we've got gifts. It says in the summary of verses in 1 Peter 2:10 to 11, be eager in your calling. Be very eager in the calling. I might be no good out there banging nails on a wall or fixing up the roof or leaks or whatever, but I might be able to stand up here and talk. Now, I'm aware that sometimes I do a bit of stuttering. I went to see a movie a couple of weeks ago called The King's Speech. Now, I saw it. You know about the king, you know about the man, you know, king, whatever, Queen Elizabeth's father that died. He was a stutterer. And how one particular Australian man turned his life around. By constantly talking to him and talking to him and talking to him. And on the day in question, he was able to go in front of the microphone in England during the Second World War and say one of the most famous speeches ever recorded. And it just flowed out like that. Out of your lips, can you flow with confidence the word of God? Are we in a situation where we can confidently call verse for verse or things that come into our mind? Because we have to be ready for whatever happens. In Psalm 34:8, it says this: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit." That no matter what happens in the way of life, if you're down and out or you have problems, you can trust in Jesus Christ. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to every one of us. Now, in closing, we'll go back to the book of Revelation, right towards the end, and there's three promises here. One of them is one of my favourites. Revelation 3:19-21, and I read. Revelation 3:19-21. "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Isn't that a lovely promise? Here I am, Jesus, God, Jesus, I am here. I am ready. Are you? Are you willing to open the door and let Jesus into your life? Or do we want it shut so he can't come in? That is the thought. In closing today, I would like you to come over to the last chapter in Revelation, chapter 22. Last page, chapter 22, and I want to read two passages right on that last page. It talks about Jesus is coming. From chapter 22 in Revelation, it reads thus. In verse 7, it reads, Revelation 22, verse 7. "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." That, to me, is one of the loveliest promises in the Bible. That no matter what we read or what we see, the Bible is for us. No matter what. It may not be clear all the time, and we may have to seek the help of the Holy Spirit to understand a lot of it. But it's there. In my Bible, it's printed in red. Look at verse 12 for virtual repeat. And it says, Jesus speaking again. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right of the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." What a lovely promise that is to end this presentation this morning. "Behold, I am coming soon." Are you ready? Do you want to be ready, or are you in a situation where things might pass you by? "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen him, I fell down to worship the feet," it says there. It's a wonderful privilege this morning to be able to read some of these promises. I've only touched on a few, and I'm sure if I went into it further, I could delve into it quite a bit. But the promises of God, standing on God's promises, no matter what, no matter what the problem is or where we are in life's situation, we have a promise that God loves us and cares for us, that he will indeed one day come back to this earth, hopefully, and take us back to heaven with him. Thank you very much. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, of the promises that are in this Bible for us to understand and to read and to accept. We thank you for the message that has been given here this morning, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word and the passages that we've read this morning. And may I pray that we go away from this place today blessed and refreshed from it, that we might tackle this new month and this new week, Lord, with vigour in understanding what each of us requires. Each of us requires, Lord, a closer walk with thee and a closer walk with our fellow brothers and sisters on this earth, that we might be one with you in love and kindness, including our brothers. Take us now, Lord, through the remainder of this lovely Sabbath day. Be with the special meeting down at Portland today, Lord, as they continue through the afternoon and maybe into the night, Lord. Give them a safe and happy Sabbath day down there. I ask these things in thy special name. Amen.